Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. My name is Lois Weir, and I'm joined in welcoming you today by Kathy Kearns and the members of the Intentional Eating Study Group. Lay-led services are a time-honored Unitarian Universalist tradition. We believe that the Sunday service is best reflected in a variety of voices and experiences. Lay-led services allow us to share our individual spiritual journeys, experiences, and diverse worldviews, which is an important part of our rich UU heritage. We hope you'll find something in the service today that nourishes your spirit and helps you find and keep your balance. We're glad that each and every one of you is with us this morning. Ours is a church that strives to practice the art of hospitality. And so in that spirit, I encourage you to take a moment to turn and greet your neighbors.
All right, this should wake you up. A pop quiz. What's 100 plus 44? Good. Not a trick question. 144. That's the math part of the quiz. Here's the philosophy part. What does 144 mean? Why does it matter? That's right. She got the historian of the church here. Got it. Our church is celebrating its 144th birthday. We're going to be celebrating next Sunday, and we're going to be showing off our new banner, which I have heard is stunning, but don't tell anybody. All right? All right, now, the rest of the next part of the quiz, I'm going to give you the answers. This is sort of the depressing part. You're all very generous. People have made pledge commitments about the same dollar amount as last year. Unfortunately, it's about $25,000 short of what we had hoped to raise in pledges. And so with the current pledge level, we're going to have to cut significantly what we as a congregation have committed to do. Now, without additional pledges, will we have money for all the programming we want to do? The quiz answer is, unfortunately, no. Without additional pledges, will we be able to meet the UUA fair compensation guidelines for our staff, something we've committed to do? Unfortunately, the answer is no. Without additional pledges, will we be able to pay our dues to the UUA and the OMD, the Ohio Meadville District, and the Unitarian Universalist Association, and also to support Summer Institute the way we want to? Unfortunately, no. Now, we realize these are hard times, and most people have committed as much as they can. And so if you're really strapped and have lost your job or had your salary cut or something, we're not trying to say, okay, you know, put yourself into dire poverty. But we are asking that people who can, if you would be willing to increase your pledge by an additional $144, which is the number of years that our church has been serving people in this community, that would be great. And, you know, if you can't give $144 more dollars for next year, give $1.44 a week. I mean, that's not a lot. And, you know, some kind of figure that has $144 or $1.44 in it would be great. Or whatever you're able to give, we'd really appreciate it. This is just for people who are able, but we really need it. And I thank you so much for your generous support of the church.
My name's Hal Walker, and I'd like to invite the entire congregation to be a part of my CD release celebration at the Kent Stage on Saturday night at 7:30. It will be a concert for all ages, so bring the whole family, and I hope you can join me. Thanks.
And one other announcement on a related note to the service this morning. The next meeting of the Intentional Eating Study Group will be this Wednesday, April 14th, here in the sanctuary. We're going to be viewing the film How to Cook Your Life, and we'll be discussing mindful eating and the slow food movement, and we'd like to encourage everybody to join us.
This is attributed to Chief Seattle. All things are connected, this we know. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons of the earth. Man did not weave this web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself. This we know. All things are connected.
The call to worship this morning is an excerpt from a reading by Victoria Safford called Walking Toward Morning. Every morning, every day, we leave our houses, not knowing if it will be the last time, and we decide what we'll take with us, what we'll carry. How much integrity, how much truth-telling, how much compassion, how much arrogance, how much anger, how much humor, how much willingness to change and to be changed, to grow and to be grown. How much faith and hope, how much love and gratitude. You pack these with your lunch and your papers. Every day, we gather what we think we'll need, shoulder our experience and memory, take inventory of our blessings, and we start walking toward morning. Come, let us worship together.
Good morning. Our time for all ages this morning is titled Intentional Eating, Take a Stand. And Helena Esparza is helping me today. And I asked Helena to help because I know that she likes to protest. When people protest, they make a public statement about what is important to them, what they are passionate about. Many people, including Unitarian Universalists, are passionate about eating. In fact, right now, Unitarian Universalists across the country are studying about ways to eat ethically. Eating ethically means to make food choices that are in harmony with our values and principles. Helena has some protest signs to share with you now.
Don't eat meat.
So vegetarianism, we know, is an issue that's embraced by lots of Unitarian Universalists. It's a matter of animal rights, and it's also a matter of environmental rights. Okay, next one.
Plant a garden.
Hold it up. Planting a garden allows us to be in touch with the food that we're eating. If we plant the seeds, harvest the crops, and make the very same foods that we grew in our home gardens, in our kitchen, we're much more connected to the food.
Support community, sustainable agriculture. Eat locally.
That's quite a mouthful. And this means to buy your produce from local farmers so that the local farmers will benefit from the profits. And also we will cut down then on all the fuel that it would take to bring food from afar.
Eat organic. Just say no to pesticides.
Okay. So we don't want chemicals in our body, nor do we want those chemicals in our streams and rivers. Next one.
Buy only fair trade coffee and chocolate.
And that's something we already do here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. We have a stand every Sunday to sell fair trade coffee and chocolate. And this is a matter of economic justice when it comes to ethical eating, to make sure that those that are closest to the growing of the food crops also benefit from the profits of the food crops. So there are lots of issues here, and there are even more issues than these. Many different people hold many different ideas when it comes to making food choices, but they all have some things in common. People who eat intentionally and who eat ethically are very careful and thoughtful about their choices. And most importantly, they are very grateful for their food and for the people who prepared it and for the people who brought it to the store or market and to the people who grew it and to our beautiful earth, which provides such a delicious variety of foods. So, today and every day, I encourage you to make careful choices about your food and be grateful for every delicious morsel.
Spirit of life, source of everlasting love, let us feel your presence here today. Life has a way of challenging us. We feel compassion for those who are struggling. We are saddened as we remember those who have died, including those who have suffered. We seek hope amidst our difficulties. Our journeys also offer opportunities for joy and love. We embrace moments of connection to others and to our natural world. We give thanks for all that is good that we will receive today. May the love we feel here today strengthen us for the journey. Amen.
So I invite you to join me. Before you eat, before you place your food morsel in your mouth, take a moment to get comfortable. And this is a meditation on food. And on a basic level, all that meditation is being present to what you are doing at that moment, including eating. So how many of us take that opportunity very often, if ever? So if you'll just follow my instructions step by step. Go ahead and just look at the fruit that you have in your hand and know that the apples were dried by Jennifer and Lois and they're local apples. The raisins, however, are from halfway across the world. So study your piece of fruit. And when you're ready, go ahead and place that food in your mouth without chewing or swallowing. Just allow it to rest gently. I invite you to close your eyes if you wish and be aware of the sensations, the feeling of that morsel in your mouth, on your tongue, against your teeth. Be aware of the taste, the texture, the contours. Is it cold or warm? Hard or soft. Allow the food to move, to roll around your mouth. How does it feel now? Or taste? How is it changing? Where are your thoughts? I invite you to gently bring them back to this moment. And without swallowing yet, begin to chew your food very slowly and intentionally. And what is the taste now and the sensations, the texture? Allow the saliva to intermingle with your piece of food without swallowing, if you can. Continue to chew until your food has completely dissolved. And when that moment has come, only then swallow. And be present to those sensations and emotions that you're experiencing in each moment.
Lives transform through faith. That phrase runs through my head as I think about why churches exist, why they matter. Certainly, churches provide their members with warm fuzzies such as community, comfort, and social outlets. But they differ from social clubs in that they also can be sources of inspiration and challenge. Churches are places where we can reflect on whether our actions are in line with our values and where we are encouraged to be open to change. As Karen was talking about earlier, every few years our denomination selects a study action issue. Congregations are encouraged to develop programs that allow members to learn about the issue and to reflect on changes they want to make in their own lives, in their church community, or in the wider world. One of the current study action issues, as Karen mentioned, is ethical eating. This initiative helped inspire and guide our congregation in forming a study group on this topic. We have met this year once a month to consider the choices that we make around food. For example, we discussed the environmental and personal health consequences of our food choices. We reflected on how others are impacted by the food choices we make, considering things like the conditions for the workers who produce the food. We ask how people's food choices are affected by their own living circumstances and income. We challenge members to think about whether they wanted to change their diet or to acquire their foods from new sources. In short, participating in this group gave each of us a chance to think consciously about a choice each of us makes at least 3 times a day. What do I want to eat? Today, you will hear 2 members' reflections on their experiences in the group. Later in the service, if there's time, we'll talk a little bit about what may have inspired you from today's service. Several of the members of the group are participating in the service today, so feel free to talk to any of us if you want more information. And also, Mary Lou Holly has put together a list of resources to share that are available outside the sanctuary.
Those of you who've known me for a while have probably noticed, but politely refrained from pointing out, that I've steadily put on weight in the last few years. This has made it harder to stand or walk without pain, or to go up and down stairs. My blood pressure has gone up, and so has my blood sugar, raising the specter of joining others in my family with a diagnosis of diabetes. I've struggled with my weight issues for a long time, but I never really found the right key to making lifelong changes in the way that I eat. I lacked the ability to maintain the changes in the face of the modern American foodscape, especially whenever I hit a plateau in weight loss or was confronted with a holiday or vacation. You guys know how often those happen. I hope that I might find that key by looking at food from a new perspective, and I hope that might translate into some new behaviors. By joining the Ethical Eating Study Group, I hoped to harness the power of my closely held beliefs and values to give myself the backbone to make changes I already knew I should be making. If I couldn't make the changes for myself, purely out of self-interest, then perhaps this group would help me find some other reasons to make the changes. I wanted to find a way to align my behavior and my values with respect to food. Happily, I have come away from these sessions with new eyes, and I am better able to make mindful choices about food. The single biggest change I've made has been the, surprise, decision to drastically reduce my meat consumption. You'll notice that I did not say that I have become a vegetarian, because I haven't. Not yet, anyway. Evolution has seen fit to set me up as an omnivore, and I do love a juicy hunk of roasted meat. But I will admit that I have always been more than a little squeamish about the whole process of getting an animal from the farm to the table. I've always been glad that I didn't have to do the job myself, and it has always helped if the item being consumed bore as little resemblance as possible to the original animal. The distance was comforting. But in the ethical eating group, I opened myself up to facing the uncomfortable realities of the factory farming of animals and the associated agro-business of corn production and, to a lesser extent, soy production. It's not exactly great date night viewing, to say the least. But the things that I have learned have helped me to bring my behavior more in line with my values and, in the process, to take better care of my own health. One of these values is living in right relationship within the interdependent web of all existence, of which we are just a tiny little part. And it's pretty hard to find a system more out of whack with respect to the seventh principle than the factory farming system. I would much rather be respectful and kind to the other beings we share the web with, especially if they are going to sustain my body with their sacrifice. The system we currently have in place is hard on the animals, it's hard on the environment, and it's hard on our bodies. So I'm trying to steer clear of most animal products unless I can be sure that they have been raised humanely and sustainably. And since most animals in the factory farming system aren't, it necessarily limits my intake. Conversely, I learned more about the health benefits derived from eating a predominantly plant-based diet, rich in whole grains, naturally lower in saturated fats. While switching to this type of diet does not automatically eliminate all of the issues around food production in this country, and here I'm thinking of the many health foods that are now being produced through our big farm, big food system, but it does clearly have more to offer me health-wise and with less negative environmental and ethical consequences than the more animal-based diet does. So now I prepare more meals at home. I eat more whole grains, fruits, and vegetables. I look for plant-based proteins. I read a lot more nutrition labels. I give thanks more often for the food that sustains me. These changes, along with a rededication to regular physical exercise, has already helped me to lose about 17 pounds as of this morning, which has translated to a slight lowering of my blood pressure and my blood sugar and a whole lot less pain in my knees, as anybody noticed when they watched me come up the stairs today. I've even found the backbone to keep going in spite of celebratory meals and weight loss plateaus. And that's change that I believe that I can live with.
Ask anyone that knows me. I love to eat. And I'm fortunate to have found myself in a family that embraces and shares my love of good food. Even our kids are adventurous eaters. They like vegetables, even cabbage. I've been blessed with a ready audience of enthusiastic diners who truly appreciate a good meal prepared with care and attention to detail. All my adult life, my leisure activities have been related to my love of food. I take my cooking and gardening very seriously. I read about food for fun. I cook a lot from scratch. And I tinker and I experiment. I write notes in my cookbooks. I'm fanatical about quality ingredients and proper procedure. And I discovered pretty early on that eating fresh and seasonally is good. Supermarket tomatoes are just plain awful, therefore I garden. Fresh herbs are better than dried, so I keep an herb garden, even if it's just a pot on the back porch. Fruit is riper and tastier when you get it at the orchard. And food that looks good does not necessarily taste as good as food with visual imperfections. Just compare a red delicious apple from Giant Eagle to a Melrose from the farmer's market, and I think you'll probably agree that this is fundamentally true. But up until a few years ago, I hadn't considered the food I eat in the context of my values. Like most Americans, I never considered where my food came from or the implications of the food choices that I made. I had a few food no-nos. For example, I don't eat veal, but for the most part, the food choices I made were not guided by my personal values. So my family's adventure in intentional eating really began a couple Christmases ago when my mother gave me a copy of Barbara Kingsolver's book, Animal Vegetable Miracle. Barbara and her family spent a year eating only food that was grown and produced 100 miles or less from their small farm in Virginia. They were allowed one exception apiece, notably coffee and chocolate, but otherwise they kept within the guideline. Barbara's experiences inspired me to consider moving our eating patterns in a more local direction. First thing I did was investigate buying a share in a CSA, community-supported agriculture farm. We were on waiting lists for a year and were finally able to purchase a share at Crown Point Ecology Center in Bath last season. This is how our CSA works. In the spring, people like us purchase shares in the season's harvest. And then weekly, from roughly late April to late October, we pick up our share of whatever's been harvested from the farm that week. CSA provides a way for the farmer to obtain the financial resources when they're most needed at the start of the growing season, and it guarantees us, the consumers, a share of the full season's crop of freshly harvested vegetables on a regular basis. Our CSA provides us with all the greens, herbs, beans, tomatoes, squash, root vegetables, peppers, potatoes, and onions, and other stuff that we can possibly during the growing season, and even more for us to freeze, can, dry, and pickle to enjoy over the winter. It provides us with a vast diversity of vegetables, including unfamiliar ones that we might otherwise never have chosen, including kohlrabi, fennel, eggplant, and garlic scapes. We've developed an ever-growing repertoire of recipes that allow us to take full advantage of whatever's in season at any time. My reading of Barbara Kingsolver's book led naturally to the books of Michael Pollan, who some of you may be familiar with as today's most prominent pundit on food politics and a critic of industrial food production. The Omnivore's Dilemma opened my eyes to the negative impacts our corn-based, factory-like production of food, and especially meat, has on the environment, energy dependence, local communities, and our personal health. More reading and participation in the intentional eating group have led us to consider further changes in how we eat. We've come to realize that some of the food choices we were making were in direct conflict with our core Unitarian Universalist values. It's become clear to me that what we eat impacts not only our personal health, but the health of our communities, our land, both agricultural and wilderness, agricultural workers everywhere, international politics, especially as related to energy and water, and ultimately the earth itself. So our family continues to move closer to aligning the way we eat with our values. We've learned of the disastrous environmental consequences of the concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, that provide the meat that's available in our supermarkets. And we've seen the unconscionable conditions under which animals are contained, fattened, slaughtered, and have decided that we won't eat factory meat anymore. We found local sources, small farms that feed their animals what nature intended them to eat, grass and bugs and hay and grain in moderation. These farmers recognize that good care, not hormones and antibiotics, raise healthy animals that provide safer, more nutritious meat for us to enjoy. And since the new year, we've stopped eating meat at restaurants, since we have no idea where the meat that can be bought at a restaurant comes from. An unintended consequence of this has been that we now appreciate even more the meals with meat that we eat at home. Which brings me to my final point. Our family's ongoing journey toward intentional eating has led us to eat better. And I don't just mean for our health. Yes, our CSA has motivated us to make vegetables a much larger part of our diet. And yes, we eat meat that's more nutritious because the animals that it came from had greater diversity in their diets. And yes, we have to make better choices when we eat out because we've willingly limited those choices. But as I told you up front, I am all about eating good, delicious, satisfying food. And I can tell you, we are eating well these days. Seasonal produce, picked from one's garden or taken home on the day it was harvested, is the best you can eat. Chicken and the eggs from chickens raised outdoors eating grass and bugs are chickenier and eggier than their pale supermarket counterparts. Plants grown in healthy soil that is built from compost and the manure from the animals that tilled it reflect the flavor and the goodness of the sun and the rain and the minerals and nutrients that are found only in living soil. But mostly, food that you put your own sweat and effort into growing, gathering, preserving, and preparing simply tastes better. For me, each meal is an everyday reminder that life itself is a gift, and therefore we nourish our spirits as well as our bodies when we eat mindfully and with gratitude. As you leave today and go off to enjoy your next meal, consider these words of good advice from Michael Pollan. Eat food, not too much, mostly plants. Whatever you choose, eat mindfully. Savor and be grateful. Blessed be.